Did you not start recording?
No, I thought you pressed it.
Professionals!
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of Flashcast. I am joined today with one of my good friends and business partners, Mr. Rob Hutt. How are you doing today, Rob?
I am fantastic. I've got good quality coffee. I think, in fact, I shouldn't probably say this because I'm not allowed to drink them. Is this a caramel latte?
I think it is. Yeah, it's really nice, actually. Yeah,
Aggie's not watching this, is she?
Probably.
Damn it.
Probably.
I've just got mineral water in here, warmed up in the microwave. Zero-calorie mineral water.
Yeah, sure.
No, I'm good. I'm really good. We're in our new studio. We've moved in. I'm trying to work this out. Probably about 7 days ago.
Yeah, something like that. Officially, yeah.
But we've been. You guys can probably see a little bit of this. We have been turning this into a quite a cool environment, into a sort of a super cool environment, from the perspective of sound and lighting and the environment. Everything that FlashBuzz as a brand would encompass in a studio format. So
absolutely.
I could not be happier, Luke.
No, it's perfect. It's everything in here, the soundproofing, the lighting, the curtains, everything is just great. It's just great. And actually we've had our first few clients come in recently and they've absolutely loved it. I'm so happy with how our clients have found it.
Tell the story of Rebecca and the audio that she recorded yesterday and the reaction we had.
So that's a good point, actually. We recorded some audio for a project that we were doing it was a barn conversion or something like that. And we used our normal microphones, and it sounded really great. And at the time they sounded amazing.
And they're good. They are really, really great.
And especially if you can't, if you have to film and do audio in the same place and you can't come here to record it externally, it was great for what it was. However, then when we came in here to record some audio externally, the difference was practically night and day. And like you've said before, we set the bar to a certain level at the time, and then we brought her in here, did all the work here, and then put it on the TV to test it out. It was amazing. It was really, you can hear it for yourself. The proof is in the pudding, so.
These are some of the first videos she's ever produced. And, the equipment we took in there was high quality. So a really nice shotgun mic recorded on our Zoom recorder here. And she said, wow, I'm so blown away by the premium quality of that sound. And then we re-recorded in here, and then she listens to it back on our lovely 55-inch ultra definition TV in there, so in a little client reviewing area. Mm-hmm. And then she watched it, and you're right, it was night and day. And she couldn't believe how we'd gone from something that had blown her away to something that's just on another level. And the point of differentiation was, well, we've got different mics here, so we've kind of upgraded for specific podcast vocal mics are important. But probably the biggest factor was just the environment and the studio environment.
Yeah, big time.
And that comes from things like the soundproofing and the acoustics that we've created in here. So you could probably see we've got some acoustic panels. We've got some sort of bass panels in here. We've got some sound dampening curtains. We've done some stuff with the ceiling. And the sound is just... it's just perfect. It's really, really, really good.
It's great. And actually, that comes down to today's topic that we're talking about. Would you like to introduce the topic?
Yeah, so the topic today is office/home versus studio. So from our perspective and a little bit of insight and questions for you guys to take away, which is what it's, for you to draw a comparison, because it's a really interesting place at the moment. So people are producing content from their homes and their offices on a scale that we've never seen before. But there are certain compromises that you need to make. There's certain advantages, but there's certain compromises you need to make. But from your perspective, Luke, what's it been like transitioning from a kind of a home office environment? Mm-hmm. It's now the hoffice. That's going to catch on. From a hoffice into a studio, what's it been like for you?
I think it has been definitely very positive. I think the big change for me has been just the difference between either working at home or whatever it was, or working in wherever we were working. I mean, I used to work quite a lot in cafes and stuff, because it's just a change of environment. I think one thing that a lot of people talk about, again, I've read studies on in the past, they talk about whatever you do, do not work or entertain yourself in your bedroom, you know, watching TV, playing video games. Yeah, whatever. You know what I'm trying to say. It's important not to be, you know, the bedroom is meant for sleeping. It's supposed to be. Yeah, it's supposed to be for sleeping. But the idea is that then if you then, you know, if you have a TV in your bedroom, it's one thing that a lot of people talk about, don't do. You're, you know, just, it doesn't help with concentration. I think your brain needs to be in a mindset that the bedroom is for sleeping, then your office is for working. And for us, the big difference I've noticed is the fact that just working in an environment that we've created to be creative in and to work in has been great, because the moment you walk in here, for us especially, it's very apparent that this is a working innovation space. And every time I walk through the door in the morning, that's what I feel like. So for me, it's been amazing.
That's a massively important thing, because I think a business needs you to bring your showtime. I call it your showtime. And I think it's really important that you personally bring your showtime. Now, to explain that, like when you're at home, you know, you can slouch on the couch and that's cool. And you can kind of watch TV or you can kind of play computer games or whatever it is. And there's very little expectation on you. But when you come to work, whatever your profession, you have to bring your showtime, whether you're a builder, whether you're a bus driver or wherever you're guys that run a creative studio and video marketing company. You know, you have to bring your best version of yourself, your showtime. And that is incredibly important. And in order to do that, the environment needs to kind of reflect your showtime. You're looking at that again, mate.
No, I'm just checking it's running. I'm terrified after last time, that's all. No, it's all good. It's all good. They didn't see that.
So yeah, your showtime's incredibly important. And I used to teach innovation and creativity. I used to run these workshops. I trained 900 scientists on this, on
gosh,
this stuff.
Yeah,
so
that's impressive.
I kind of got a little bit of unique insight. But basically, it's incredibly important. Your environment reflects your showtime. You know, what ambience you're giving out, the personal energy you're giving out. And then if I'm rolling straight out of my bed, you know, right onto my desk, and I've got to switch on that showtime, it's so difficult, because all the other factors are kind of, they're mirroring your home environment. So you're kind of a conflict between, I need to switch on my showtime, but I can't do it, or it's hard to do. Whereas you're right, I walk into this environment and it's like the environment is encouraging me or bringing out my showtime.
Quite
so
right, quite
that's
right.
That's super important for me.
Quite right. And I think that just comes down to how we built it. It's very, you know, I mean, I'm sure you've seen some footage somewhere, the two-step, you know, base that we've sort of got going on here is one studio inside here, and then next door we've got the office, we've got the TV to look at projects on, we've got the speakers, we've got everything set up exactly how we need it to be. So yeah, so we can do the work how we want to, when we want to.
Exactly. And it's our studio and it's our client space as well. So we told Rebecca, hey, if you want to come and work from this environment or review content on the TV, on the client couch, you come in and do that. It's completely welcoming environment. And I think that's really important that people can come here, because they're usually spending kind of a whole day or a couple of days here that they feel really at home and real comfortable, and it brings out their creative time, brings out their showtime. Other factors I think are really important to probably run through for people at home to consider, and what's been a little bit of a journey for us, is things like lighting. So what we've got is, we've got basically right now, to run you through this, we've got two sort of studio ring lights behind each of these cameras here. We've got two small light panels, and that's just sort of pinging up the detail on our faces and also on our microphones here. So that's kind of making us stand out somewhat from the background. And we've also got two other panel lights sort of down here, providing kind of a backlight for us. And that is a really kind of standard, really nice way of bringing a scene to life. So it means that your subject is very prominent in the scene, your background is very much a background, and there's certain layers and textures to the shot. And we can come in the morning and we can press a button and it all just kind of fires up. There's no kind of, the only other thing we've got actually is a really cool sort of LED strip light that runs right around the top of the ceiling,
great,
which you might be able to cut to in a bit. That's super cool. So that provides a little bit of, and also, I'm missing, there's so many more lights than I thought there were.
And the light under the table.
And the light under the table, yeah. But all that together creates a certain ambience. Mm-hmm. And also, and the massive thing to remember here is control. So we control every element of this kind of lighting scene now. And the one thing we don't have on is the main lights.
Yeah.
And one thing that most people are doing at home at the moment or in the office is they're using their main light source. So lighting is a bit like painting on a canvas. You have to start with a blank canvas. So if you are out there and you're in a home or an office environment, turn off the main lights, because that's kind of giving an artificial starting point. Start with almost complete black or the ambient light coming from any window or daylight source, and build it up from there in the way that you want it. Don't just accept that, you know, the strip lights are how I'm lighting my scene. If you can afford to, they're really cost effective, small sort of LED panels, slightly larger ones, or the ring lights that sit on the lighting stands, and kind of play around with it. You know, there's a thing called a three-point lighting system, which we'll probably do a video at some point, or you can YouTube to find out how that works. Or just give us a call. We're happy, we're happy just to talk you guys through things that you could do in your home and in the office. And when you're ready to kind of step up into a professional environment and come into a studio like we're in at the moment, we'll be more than happy to welcome you into that
absolutely,
as well. But for
absolutely.
The time being, we just want people out there producing kick-ass content.
I agree. I think it's quite interesting, actually. I think part of the topic today is the fact that we've gone from being in a home office working environment to an office/studio, whereas a lot of people, because of the time that we're in, have actually done the complete opposite. They've gone from being in an office with lots of people around to them being at home. I think it's really strange and quite, you know, interesting for us that the fact that we've almost done the opposite of what everyone else has done. So I think one thing that we can talk about, obviously you've talked about lighting, but also what advice can we give to people? Because I know we definitely both have worked from home for a very long time. What advice do you think we can give to people that are just newly starting to work from home? Because I know at the very beginning, for a lot of people, maybe it's a bit exciting, it's a bit different. But then over time, I think that it gradually decreases and you become less effective being at home working. What other advice do you think we can give to people, hence, you know, because we've been in that environment for so long?
Okay, so I would say exerting control over your environment is really important. And trying not to compromise as well. So you need to take it seriously. This is your working environment. So I'm talking primarily with it in my own mind. If you've got a desk and you're working at a computer, but this equally, if you're in a workshop or, you know, whatever else you're doing, answering telephones, then you have to kind of relate it to that. But control, which is, you know, trying to anticipate the distractions that are going to happen throughout the day. So it could be, okay, so I've got a piece of work to do. I'm going to turn my mobile phone off onto flight mode or whatever it might be, or I'm going to not book any parcels. I'm going to have them delivered to a neighbor. I'm going to arrange to let people know that, you know, I'm now at home and my working day is between, you know, say 9 and 5. Try and control that time, because what happens is you kind of get in a flow with things and suddenly, like, you get a distraction or some sort of event happens, and it kind of takes a while to get back up to speed, and your productivity suffers as a result. And actually, if your productivity is really high and you're not distracted, your day goes super quick. So
yeah,
you get more
time.
Work done, your day goes quicker, your boss is super happy, or if you work for yourself, there's probably more money in the bank eventually, at the end of the day. And that's really important. And compromise. So look at your room and go, okay, this is now my working environment. So what am I giving myself permission to take out and remove that is conflicting with that? So that could be distractions. So it could be, I'm going to take the phone out and going to have the phone in another room, and I'm going to go to another room to make a call because I don't want that phone ringing. And if it rings in another room and it's something that's related, you know, not a non-work call, then I can actually say, that's great, I'll go and pick that up at another time, as opposed to just kind of reaching up and then suddenly you're like, ah.
No, absolutely, absolutely. I think, like you said, just removing things, I think it's part of it, is looking at your environment, looking, you know, actually stepping back, taking a look and saying, what are the things in this room right now that are going to distract me? Or even just in the house generally that you can sort of move around a little bit. I know a big one for me was just having the police station in the same room that I worked in. As silly as it sounds, even if it was turned off, it didn't matter. Just it staring at me in the face was not very easy.
And you were thinking about playing, because it was your other world encroaching on your professional world.
Absolutely.
Which would not normally happen.
Absolutely.
So you're having to kind of like almost like withhold that other world just for the time that you're working in. Because you will, when you eventually get to play the PlayStation, it will be much more rewarding because you've kind of put aside that time at the end of the day and you feel good about the work you've done, and then you can embrace it. Mm-hmm. And then, and there's no work, because it flips the other way. Because if you haven't been productive in the day, and then you kind of you get to the evening time and you're playing your PlayStation, and you're like, do you know what? I didn't actually get that much done in the day. So what I should probably do is pick that work back up.
Yeah, yeah.
So what in essence you've done is you've done, and it, this happens a lot, you've diluted the your work time with playtime, and now you've diluted your playtime with work time. So the whole thing's a really sort of muddy mess.
Off, exactly, yeah. I think there is, I think one thing that I think a lot of people are going to struggle with, especially people that haven't worked from home before, is what I call like fake productivity. Again, I've looked into it in the past. I don't know what the full terminology is, but it's the idea that you feel like you're being productive at home and you're working, but you're actually not. One thing that a lot of people on YouTube talk about, the idea of rewarding yourself when you get things done during the day. Mm. Now, although I think that's not a bad idea, I think it can go very wrong very quick, and I don't think enough people talk about it. So, just so, for example, one thing that you say is, if you like playing video games, do an hour of work and then reward yourself with playing 15 minutes of video games. Now, in principle, I kind of get the thinking behind it, or maybe 2 hours of work, whatever it is. But in reality, it never works that way, ever. It's always, I'll do 1 hour kind of work, and then I'll be on the PlayStation for whatever it was, for 45 minutes. So then I spend half my time working, half time playing video games. And then on top of that, I'm sure you do the same. I'm sure many of us do. Drinking cups of coffee and tea all day. Every time I got bored for even a split second, I'd just go make another coffee. And that, in between rewarding yourself that everyone's, you know, telling you to do, really screws it up. So in reality, even though you feel like you've worked 8 hours or whatever it is, you've probably actually only worked for like 2 hours in the day. And I know I definitely struggled with that, you know, a couple of years ago. It's something that I've been very conscious of.
You've got to reward yourself, because that's the whole basis of why you're working in the first place. But hold the rewards off a little bit longer and make them more substantial. Mm. You know, so go, okay, what I'm going to do is, I've got that new PlayStation game all wrapped up and it's cellophane. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to open that and I'm going to spend the whole evening playing it, because I've done a really hard day's work. Right, rather than diluting the enjoyment of it because you're kind of sprinkling it throughout a relatively unproductive day. Eating is really important, to make sure that you kind of plan when you're going to eat. When you're going to drink, make sure that you don't eat too much and not drink enough, because I think that happens a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Ambient light as well, you know, make sure, a lot of people are working in environments without any windows or small windows, or they just forget to draw the curtains.
Yeah, that's right.
So you draw the curtains and they're closed, so open the curtains, I guess. It would be, yeah. So open the curtains, let that fresh air in, make sure that you got, you know, good ambient lighting in. Because
walking as well, go for a walk. It's so obvious, and I think it's something that, again, I struggled with for a while. It's just going for a walk halfway through the day. At the moment, I've got the dog, so it's a bit easier to make excuses up to go for a walk. But just getting that fresh air halfway throughout the day. I mean, I think you should do that even if you're in an office environment anyways. I think any time you're working in a space that's not outside-y, definitely going for a walk.
I've got a little sports watch most people do now. So every after a period of inactivity, what I'll do is it will just say, hey, get off your ass, you know, and then I'll go and do something. So kind of listen to that, you know, build that in, whether it's little reminders on your phone or your partner or whatever it is, or, you know, if you're working, you know, remotely, try and support each other. You know, if you're in a team and everyone else is in the same position, get a little round robin email that says, hey guys, check in with everyone, make sure everyone's hydrated.
Big time, I agree.
You know, you can still have that remote team mentality as well.
I agree, yeah. That's cool.
So this is one of a number of videos I'm sure we're going to do on this topic, but what we might do in the future is delve into a little bit more deeper detail to try and sort of really impart as much advice and insights as we can, because we're in quite a unique position, because, you know, we've worked, you know, we really have worked a very compromised home environment, and now we're in a very kind of like high-end studio. So our journey has been quite distinctly one end of the spectrum to the other. So I think it'd be quite interesting to kind of dissect that for the benefit of people which are kind of on that journey or looking to make that journey.
Absolutely. No. I think we should. Yeah, I agree.
So until then, Have a great day, guys. Look after yourselves while you're working at home. That guy's been Luke.
And this has been Rob.
And we'll catch you soon.
Cheers.